محمد و آل محمد صلوات. اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلوات Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa taqabbalallah siyamakum wa qiyamakum inshallah. In the previous session, as when I was talking about the spiritual journey in our daily prayers, when we're finishing about an explanation that I was giving about the salam, either I did not explain myself properly or there was misunderstanding. Allow me to correct myself in case of any mistake. I was not talking about the jurisprudential side of it, obviously, but jurisprudentially of the three salam of that we finish our namaz with, the last one is an obligation. The first one, that is assalamu alaik ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, is mustahab, and in fact is part of the tashahhud somehow. And between the second and the third, either of them is wajib. But if you say the second one, the third has to be said also ihtiyatan. If you say the last salam, that is assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you don't have to say the second one. So inshallah, it is clear, although we're not talking about the jurisprudential side of it. And also, because alhamdulillah, some of the brothers or sisters, they have issues or questions that they like to meet with me. And the time is very very restricted. We are going towards the end of the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, on Sunday morning, I know the timing is a little bit awkward perhaps for you, but Sunday morning during the Ihtikaf program, from midnight until morning prayer almost, I will be here. And the timing that is allocated for any counseling questions or anyone who wants to see me, inshallah, between 3 to around 5. Yeah, 3 to 5, I should be inshallah available if I could stay awake at that time. If something happens that I don't know how my energy by then will be, if I fall asleep, then that's a different story. And we won't be here, by the way, we will be in Masjid Husseini inshallah. So if I couldn't see anyone in the next few days, appointments that they had made, please make an effort, as I've made an effort to come all the way from Iran to Mombasa. I'm sure you can sacrifice and inshallah you won't have any security issue to come that time of the night to Masjid Husseini. It's a very spiritual moment, close to Fajr time, The good thing is that we are not fasting. I can serve you a cup of tea over there, or I could be served as well, and we can have a better discussion. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This week in our session with the youth, 3 days we had a crash or sort of a seminar exclusively about Imam Zaman Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, learning about Imam Zaman, our obligations towards him and his expectations from us. Tonight, inshallah, I want, because tomorrow also we have a Q&A, I won't be able to give any lecture. So inshallah, I want to share with you tonight, as much as my time allows me, something about our beloved Imam, Imam Mahdi Ajjalallah Farajahu Sharif, in the form of a reply to a question. The question is the following, or misgiving or misunderstanding about our dear Imam. Needless to say that as Shia, we believe that our Imam, Imam Zaman Ajjalallah Farajahu Sharif, is alive by the will of God. From the beginning of the minor occultation, he has been and he is alive, and he will alive until he appears and spreads peace and justice on earth. The question is the following. Some out of the Shia, or even some Shia, they ask this question, that what for God's sake Imam Zaman is doing and has been doing over a millennium? It's more than a millennium, more than 1,000, more than 1,200 years that you say that Imam Zaman is alive and you say that he is around. What has he been doing? We don't notice anything. We don't see apparently that Imam Zaman is doing anything. Some even, and unfortunately some of our scholars, I don't want to go to the technicality of it, to quote the quotations from some of the scholars in the past and in the recent years even as well, that in their books even they had mentioned that, that's what I said, that not everything that is written and published, it's like what we say in English, is Bible and you have to accept it. Every publication is subject to investigation and criticism as well. By the way, some of even our scholars, they had mistakenly assumed that our beloved Imam has isolated himself in an island often they refer to as Al-Jaziratul Khadra, the Green Island, or as if he is living with his family and his host and some of his close disciples in a mysterious area known as Bermuda Triangle. And that's why any airplane passes by that area, any ship sails through that area, all of the sudden disappears. And funny thing is that they relate even that Indonesian, Malaysian airline, they say that must be passing by that Bermuda Triangle, although they say that this is somewhere in Pacific Ocean. These are, I assure you, nothing other than myth, M-Y-T-H, period. There is no truth in that, for the reasons that inshallah I'm here briefly tonight to prove it to you, that why is it that absolute majority of our scholars disagree with this wrong or false belief about Imam Mahdi. My teacher Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Hafadahullah, quoting from his teacher Marhum Allama Rafi'i Qazwini, he was saying that the research that I done about the Jazirat al-Khadra, the Green Island, is that the Green Island was an expression for Andalus in the old days, that today we know that country as Spain. You know, when Muslims, they conquered Spain, back then it was referred to as Andalus. And Andalus, literally, it means green island, a green area, because it was green, the island, like Mombasa, someone refers to as green island. Imagine the Arabs from the desert of Sahara Desert, they are going and discover, like for example, a country like Spain, it's a green island. Now, one of the Fatimi dynasty kings, whose name and title was Al-Mahdi, and in our seminar with the youth, I mentioned that why some of the kings, they would pick that title of Al-Mahdi for themselves, because the notion of the coming of Mahdi is an Islamic notion. Both among Shia and Sunnis, narrations are there. So his title was Al-Mahdi, and because he made a palace over there in Andalus in Spain and was living there for some time, some historians, ignorant historians, they mixed up the Mahdi, the king of Fatimi, with Imam Al-Mahdi Al-Jalala Faraju Sharif, and they thought that Imam Mahdi is that Al-Mahdi who has been living in that green island, and therefore they believe that Imam Mahdi is living in a green island. Anyone believes that Imam Mahdi is living in a cave, in an isolated island, or I don't know, Bermuda Triangle, or somewhere away from the community, does not know the Imam of his time in the real sense. Remember, the Prophet had said, whoever dies not knowing the Imam of his time has died the death of Jahiliyyah, meaning that in the real sense, that person is not a Muslim. We believe that our dear Imam lives with us, lives with the community. Our Imam has certain responsibilities that has been undertaking throughout his long life. And that was one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prolonged his life and his occultation to achieve the goal that he's had. Some of them are the following. Our dear Imam has the mission of safeguarding Islam in so much as his ancestors have. Imam Ali alayhi salam, 25 years he was at home. His right was usurped. The right of Khilafah. But does it mean that the Imam packed up and went and left in and lived in a cave away from the community? Oh, he was, yes, he didn't have the opportunity to rule, but he was there anytime his help was needed. Even the second Khalifa, as mentioned before, several times he said, "Lawla Aliyun lahalaka Umar." Had it not been Ali helping me, I would have been perished. So the fact that you don't have the opportunity, or the Imam doesn't have now the opportunity to rule, doesn't mean that he just packs up and leaves, isolating himself from the community. There are so many different ways still that he can help the community. He's safeguarding Islam. He's safeguarding the tashayyu, as inshallah I'll share with you the examples and the proofs for that. Imam Mahdi, throughout the history, he has had the mission of disciplining, training, coaching his disciples, his main disciples, those 313 main soldiers, or the chief administration of Imam Mahdi. They have been trained throughout the history until that number is achieved. Imagine you are the CEO of your company and you are looking for a programmer. They tell you that we have 5 programmers in Mombasa, you have to choose among them, one of them. The second option is that if they tell you that we have 50 in Africa, you can choose from them. We have 500 worldwide, and you have access to the best available programmers worldwide. Or they tell you that you've got 1,000 years or 200, 1,200 or more. Throughout the years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every century or so, one will be distinguished among all the good pious people. One would be the most outstanding, distinguished, perfect human. Imam Mahdi chooses from the 6th century one, for example, the 7th century one, another century, until the number is completed, because he is going to establish a global state. He doesn't need Tom, Dick, and Harry. He needs perfect humans to be part of his administration. So this is again another mission that the Imam has had throughout the many years. Also, although he is in occultation, but he has always liked his ancestors. In as much as Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam was in jail, but while he was in jail, he was looking after the affairs of the Shia community. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is not even in jail physically. He is in occultation. He is also looking after the affairs of the Shia community worldwide. Remember this, and inshallah I come with the proofs for you one after the other. In fact, when someone is in occultation and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that he will not be identified, he is more secure. and his safety will be more safeguarded, and hence he will have more opportunity to go out, to reach out to people and help them. Are you with me or not? So yes, true that our dear Imam is in occultation, but that in itself is an opportunity for the Imam. Because the reason the Rawayat says that the Imam is in occultation is to protect himself, so that what happened to his ancestors does not happen to him. He is the last savior for humanity. Well, when they cannot identify him, they cannot harm him. There are numbers of reasons to prove that Imam Mahdi Ajjalallah Farajahu Sharif is living with us, is around, and he is there helping us. Without his help, impossible for the Shia community to have come such a long way and to survive. I inshallah share with you from three different angles my evidences. One is a rational proof. The second angle will be textual proof, meaning that sharing with you the narrations or your narrations that we have. And the third, practical examples of the life of Imam Mahdi Ajjalallah Farajahu Sharif with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. As for the rational proof, one of them is what I already mentioned, that yes, Imam is in occultation, but that doesn't stop him, because nobody would recognize him. It is therefore possible for him to reach out to the community and help them where his help is needed. The obligation of enjoining good and forbidding evil, al-amr bil ma'roof wa nahy 'anil munkar, is it only for you and I, or is for everybody? For sure the Imam, the leader of the community, has more of that obligation, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says. So can you fathom that Imam Mahdi does not fulfill this obligation? And he has packed and he is living in a cave or in an island somewhere away from the world, living his life with his family and his disciples. And if you tell him that, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, look at what's happening to Shia around the world, says, sorry man, I'm not on duty at the moment, my office is closed now. For the life of me, I cannot fathom this would be Imam Mahdi Ajjalallah Farajahu Sharif. Impossible. Impossible. Okay? So my rationale is easily, and my little understanding of Islam says that it's impossible for Imam Mahdi to have isolated himself throughout the years until when the time for his reappearance comes, because there, it is possible for him to get involved somehow and help the community. The second approach is when we look at the riwayat that are telling us about Imam Mahdi Ajjalallah Farajahu Sharif are so clearly explaining the fact to us that don't ever misunderstand, don't ever assume that just because you don't see what your Imam does, you deny what the Imam does. What a shame that I don't see what someone is doing. Like, for example, I don't know what you are doing during the day. Say, brother, what kind of a bludger are you? What for God's sake are you doing? I don't see what that marja does. Really, what is marja doing? Don't they get bored? Just because I don't see what you do, it's not fair to turn and say that you are not doing anything. And especially when it comes over, dear Imam, just because I don't see what Imam Mahdi is doing, I deny what Imam Mahdi is doing. In riwayat, Imam Sadiq, for example, alayhi salam, is giving the example of our Imam and what he's doing, similar to the sun in a cloudy day. Very famous hadith, you might have heard of this, that the way that people benefit from Imam Mahdi during his occultation is similar to the way that the inhabitants of the earth benefit from the sun in a cloudy day. Well, when the sun is cloudy, all what happens is that you don't see the sun in the sky. Not that the sun is not functional. Even the UVA, UVB rays of the sun, if you want to get a tan, still is there, even though the sun is not visible. So all what is happening is that, my friend, we don't see our Imam. Otherwise the function is there. In so much, look at the brilliant example that Imam Sadiq is giving. In so much as the sun is functional, fully functional, Just because of the cloud, I can't see it. Another famous example given in the Riwayat is that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that the simile or the example of Imam Mahdi is similar to Prophet Yusuf. Now, Prophet Yusuf, even when he was in jail, he was training and making his administration. If you are familiar with the story of Prophet Yusuf, those sinful criminals, he converted them as a prophet. He converted them, trained them later on to be his administration. That's what I told, that one of the missions of Imam Mahdi throughout the history is to discipline and train people who have the qualification, potentially have the qualification. He is training them. Even if it happens that like Sheikh Mufid dies, 1,000 years ago has passed away, never mind. We believe in the concept of Ar-Raj'ah. He will be returned to dunya for the time that he will be needed. Okay? But there is more into that. Prophet Yusuf, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that similar to the brothers of Yusuf, who went to Yusuf, sat with their brother, ate with their brother, but did not recognize him. Do we have this clear in the Riwayat, don't we? So that means also it is possible for you and I sometimes could have come across our dear Imam, sat with our Imam, we had Sufre Niyaz and Imam Mahdi attended that, and wow, if I disrespected him somehow, ignorantly. More into that, when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that Imam Mahdi is similar to Prophet Yusuf, question, Prophet Yusuf, when his brother, in his encounter with his brothers, what was his position in Egypt? He was the Aziz of Mess, wasn't he? He was the Aziz, he was in practice, he was the number one person in Egypt. Not only for Egypt and the surrounding countries. And hence they used to come to him for help. Was Yusuf isolating himself, doing nothing, and just had a lunch or dinner with his brothers? Or he was fully involved and active in the affairs of his country? Likewise, Imam Mahdi is fully, like Prophet Yusuf, Imam Mahdi is fully involved and active in the world affairs. Although the community don't recognize him by the will of God. So this is the second proof. This similarity is telling us that Imam Zaman is active. He's not a passive Imam. His office is not closed, never has been closed, impossible to be closed. The third reason is the Salawat ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. Look at the titles of Imam Zaman that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt have given for the Imam. These titles also carry meanings. In a ziyarat, known as Ziyarat Sardab, we read it usually narrated from Imam Rida alayhi salam. When Imam Rida alayhi salam is visiting and says that during the time of occultation, if you want to visit Imam Zaman, that's how you address him. As-salamu ala al-jahjah al-mujahid. Al-jahjah means as-sayyidul kareem, very honorable master. Al-mujahid, question. When you call someone al-mujahid, would you call someone who is living in a cave, like a hermit, away from the community, has got nothing to do with the community, would you refer to him as a mujahid? Or you refer to him as a qa'id, sitting? If Imam Reza says that Imam Mahdi during the time of occultation visit him with the title of al-mujahid, that means he's in the front line of fighting for the sake of God. We learned in the night of Qad, every year تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلْ عَامٍ. We learn that angels and the ruh descend to earth and deliver the affairs of the year to Imam Mahdi. If Imam Mahdi's office was closed, and if he was like a hermit, isolated himself in an island or in a cave, why the affairs of the world had to be given to him? He would say, well, this got nothing to do with me, my friend. Angels, hand it over to somebody else. I'm busy with my salat, song, fasting, worshipping. The fact that the affairs go to the leader of the community, to the Imam who is involved and will be involved in the affairs of this year. In one letter, Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif himself that he had written, and we are blessed, we have so many letters, correspondence between Imam Zaman and some of our eminent scholars like Sheikh Mufid Rahmatullah Alayhi, that Marhum Tabrisi in the book of Al-Ihtijaj has compiled them. From my memory, I remember 15 of those letters. In one of the letters, Imam Zaman is writing to Sheikh Mufid, that's how he starts. After Bismillah, من عبد الله المرابط في سبيله. This letter is from the slave of God. The Imam's, like Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen refers to himself as Abdullah when he's writing letter to Malik Ashtar. من عبد الله المرابط في سبيله. مرابط, read the last ayah of Surah Ali Imran. مرابط means the frontier guard. The frontier guard. Yani Imam Mahdi is in Gaza. Imam Mahdi is the front line in all the what is happening in Iraq and everywhere else. The front line. The frontier guard is called Al-Murabit. Al-Murabit fi sabile. The guard, the soldier of Islam who is in the front line fighting for the cause of God. Al-Murabit fi sabile. One of the titles of Imam Zaman is very famous title is As-Sahib, Sahib Al-Am, Sahib Al-Zaman. Sahib, brothers, means companion. Therefore, the companions of the Prophet say Ashabun Nabi. Huh? If someone is not living with you, with the community, you don't refer to him as a companion. You don't refer to him as a Sahib. A hermit living in a cave in an island, you don't call him Sahib na. Our companion. That shows that Imam Mahdi is living with the community, sharing the grief of the community. He's concerned for the community. One of his titles, Allah Akbar, and the list carries on. Aynullah Nazira, he is the eyes of God in the community. Eyes means protector, eyes means like someone who's supervising, watching. Again, he is around watching what's happening in the affairs of the community. Don't ever assume that just because I don't know what my dear Imam does, Imam Mahdi, astaghfirullah, doesn't do anything and has isolated himself. This equals not knowing our Imam. And if knowingly somebody thinks like that, really this puts his faith in jeopardy. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The third angle of evidence is to share with you some practical examples of the Imam. From the in the beginning of, like, still in, we are in the time of the minor occultation, but Imam is no longer physically living or is visible with the community. The father of Shaykh Saduq Rahmatullah Alayhi, through one of the ambassadors of the Imam, says that, ask our dear Imam, I like to have a child. My wife is barren. We can have a child. A letter comes from Imam Zaman that the Almighty God will bless you a child. We have prayed for you that you're going to have a child, that the Shia until the day of judgment will benefit from him. Shaykh Saduq Rahmatullah Alayhi, as a result of the dua of Imam Zaman, was born. This great scholar has at least 300 books. You imagine more than 1,000 years ago to write 300 books using the, you know, kind of the pen and the ink and the materials of those days. Really look at this dedication. Impossible for any scholar, for any mujtahid, any marja to become a Muslim scholar, mujtahid, marja, unless they have studied his books. Out of the dua, supplication of Imam Zaman, Shaykh Saduq Rahmatullah Alayhi was born. We come forward. I pick just some examples and come to our present time, inshallah, bit by bit. Shaykh Mufid in the 4th, 5th century Islamic era, I told you that at least we have 15 correspondences between him and Imam Zaman Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. In one incident, Shaykh Mufid was the first, foremost, most renowned Shia scholar and marja taqlid of his time, indisputably. A man comes to his office once, Shaykhun al-Aziz, my wife was pregnant and she died. But the doctors are saying that the baby, the fetus is alive. Are we supposed to bury her as it is? Or are we allowed to cut her stomach, get the baby out? Because assuming that mutilation is forbidden in Islam, Shaykh Mufid says that no, just bury her as it is. You have no right to cut the body of a mayyit. The man accepts. This is the marja. Leaves the office. On the way back home, somebody calls him from behind, says that, brother, wait. Yes, what? Shaykh sent me to tell you that immediately cut the stomach of your wife, get the baby before he dies, and then bury the mother. Oh, are you serious? Yes, go, hurry up. The man goes, does what was instructed. Few months later, holding the baby boy, comes back to Shaykh al-Mufid rahmatullah alayhi. Shaykh al-Aziz, I cannot thank you enough. The loss of my wife was so grieved, but alhamdulillah, look at this baby boy. Unless you send that messenger to me, this baby would have gone. Shaykh Mufiz, you say jaw dropped. What are you talking about? I didn't send anyone. That was Imam Zaman saving him. Shaykh Mufid was so upset with himself. You know what happened? Look at the piety of these scholars of the past. He said that office of Shaykh Mufid is closed. From today, I'm no longer going to give any issue, any fatwa. If my fatwa is going to kill an innocent person, Shaykh Mufid is not qualified to give fatwa anymore. A letter comes from Imam Zaman, أيها الشيخ المفيد منك الفتوى ومن التسديد. Shaykh Mufid, do your job, we look after you, we are a safety net around you. Make sure you are sincere, we are around you, we look after you. Allahu Akbar. In another letter, as we are talking about this great scholar, Shaykh Mufid, rahmatullah alayh, in another letter, Imam Zaman is writing to Shaykh Mufid, and he says that, Inna ghayru muhmilina li mura'atikum, talking to us. Inna ghayru muhmilina li mura'atikum, wala nasina li dhikrikum. Don't ever shi'a. Lover of Imam Zaman, follower of Imam Zaman, don't ever think that we have abandoned you. Don't ever think that we have forgotten about you. Otherwise, you would have been perished already. There would not be any Shia existing anymore on earth. Only if you knew how many enemies you had, how many sworn enemies you had, if you only knew what kind of plots every day and night are against you. Who has been safeguarding your ancestors and you, and will be looking after you all the way through? We have not forgotten about you. We do our job. Don't worry. You don't need to worry about me, Imam Zaman says, doing my job or not. You question yourselves whether you are doing your jobs or not. We come forward. Allahu Akbar. Inshallah, bear with me. A couple of more examples tonight. One of our great scholars in late 19th century Christian calendar. In late 19th century, in Iran, we had a king with the name of Nasiruddin Shah Qajar. This king goes to Europe back then and makes a mess, long story short. To cover it up, he ended up signing a contract with a British company, and he gave the privilege of selling tobacco in Iran to that British company for the next 50 years to come. That was a big humiliation to the nation of Iran. He comes back to Iran. Mirza Shirazi, he was the most renowned marja of that time. Okay? In the year 1898 AD. Okay? Mirza Shirazi came to know about it. He said, no, we do not accept this. This is a big humiliation to the nation. The king had no right to do this. Given the privilege of selling tobacco, and it means that for the next 50 years, any profit made out of selling tobacco, it goes to that British company. Mirzai Shirazi goes in isolation for 2-3 days, God knows, and later on came to know why. In communication, because he needs help. He needs like help from beyond this world. After 3 days, he released a fatwa, one line only. Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi said that Mirzai Shirazi, with half a sentence, he just kicked out the foreigners from our country. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the use of tobacco in any form, shape or form is forbidden and is equal to, it doesn't say forbidden, equals to fighting and waging war against Imam Zaman wassalam. Almost one line only. You know, those who have been and still using tobacco, they are sort of addicted to smoking. To tell them you are not allowed to go sell it, buy it, smoke it anymore, that's tough. Look at the influence of marja'iyyah. This is the marja'iyyah that I was talking about before. Behind the Shia community has been in the, throughout the history. This one line was spread to Iran, all around. People, they said, oh, Mirza has said, don't buy tobacco. I'm not going to buy tobacco anymore. The British company has the control over selling the... Nobody buys it. Nobody bought it. What happened? The contract was cancelled. They were forced to cancel the contract. Mirza Shirazi was asked later on, usually a marja, when he writes a fatwa, doesn't say that if you do this, equals waging a war against Imam Zaman. He says it's haram, you are familiar. Yajuz or la yajuz, permissible or not permissible. He said that was an instruction coming from my master Imam Zaman, Ajalallahu Farajahu Sharif. We come closer to our time. Before that even, one of the distinguished teachers of the late Ayatollah Khoui, Marhum Mirzai Naini, bring you closer to our time. Now we are to the year of the teacher of Ayatollah Khoui, Marhum Mirzai Naini. It coincided with the First World War. Iran was just the scene of the fight between the Russian troops and the British troops. In between, innocent men, women, children are getting killed. Farms are being destroyed. Mirzai Naini, as a marja of that time, is not comfortable with that. Ya Allah, what are we supposed to do? Help us. Day and night, weeping, crying, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. And the nation is desperate, they don't know what to do. One night, he says himself, that one night he had a dream. In his dream, he saw the map of a wall, like the map of Iran. And that wall is like cracked and is almost collapsing. And he said that under the wall, I saw women, children. I was freaking out, Ya Rab, this wall is collapsing. The way that is falling, all these women, children are going to get killed. As I was worried and I was saying, Al-Mustaghathu bika ya sahib al-zaman, Al-Mustaghathu bika ya sahib al-zaman. In his dream, he says that I saw the finger of Imam Zaman pointing at the wall. And says to me, Mirza, don't worry. This is the house of the Shia. It cracks, it bends, but we don't let it fall. Yes, the Shia will be attacked. During the 33-day wars in Lebanon, if you remember 2006, many of you are old enough to remember that. How many witnesses they said we saw, like some sort of creatures on the horses fighting and chopping the horses of those Israeli soldiers with the swords, and we don't know who they are. The heavenly helps comes when there is sincere. We are not saying that then the Imam is not there to miraculously get rid of all the enemies. We have to put all our efforts and everything, but he is there eventually to help. You've got a master, a beloved master who loves us, who cares about us. February 7, 1979, one day before the victory of revolution in Iran. In fact, let me tell you one more example. If you are not tired, inshallah, say salawat. I'll give you two more examples and we are done. Allah. 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 Some of you have seen this person that I'm talking about. He's no longer alive. Rahmatullah has passed away. There was one Sayyid scholar, Kawthari, his name. He was the reciter of Imam Khomeini. Reciter of Imam Khomeini, I mean that any time at the house of the Husseini of Imam Khomeini, there was a Majlis Aza, reading like Matam, Musibat. This Aghai Kawthari, he was the one who was reading the Masail. On TV, some of you, if you have been following the things in Iran, you might have seen him. He narrates. He says that was before the revolution in Iran with a delegation. We went to Najaf. Still, Imam was in Najaf before he goes to Paris. He said, we went there, and one of the scholars, he said that, Aga, they are killing people and all these things, and you have declared that Shah has to go, the then king of Iran, has to leave the country. Shah has to go? It's so difficult to get rid of a tenant. You give your house to a tenant, it's so difficult to get rid of him. He's the king of Iran, fully backed by America. You're sitting in Najaf and you say that Shah has to go? As simple as this. This is not going to happen. Imam is quiet. Aghai Kawthari says the second time, and that guy, he's a scholar. I don't mention the name. For the second time, he said, I thought Imam Khomeini didn't hear me. So he raised his voice a bit more, said, Aga, I'm talking to you, and he repeated himself. In that moment, Imam Khomeini looked at him and said that, Nastajiru billah, I seek refuge with Allah. Are you telling me that Imam Zaman lies to me? Imam Zaman has said Shah has to go, Shah has to go. If Waliullah says he has to go, something has to happen, it's already happening. It's already happening. Now people wonder, it was a miracle. The revolution in Iran was a miracle. Compare it with all the uprising in Afghanistan, Iraq, years and years and years. Having such a sincere leader on the above with connection with Imam Zaman, miracles are easily happening. February 1979, one day before the official victory of Islamic Republic in Iran, Shah had left the country already. The government, well, at that time the head was Bakhtiar. And they had made a curfew. No one was allowed to step out of his house or they was shot dead, to make sure that nothing happens against the government. Imam Khomeini announced, and he had already come to Iran, announced that tonight no one is allowed to stay at home. Imagine, the government has announced officially there's a curfew, anyone steps out of their house, we don't guarantee their life. Just to counterattack that, Imam Khomeini says that no one tonight is allowed to stay at home. Everybody step out. I mention his name, Rahmatullah Alayh, Ayatollah Taleghani. Some of you may know him. In the beginning of revolution, he was the Imam Jum'ah of Tehran. This man suffered in jail of Shah a lot, was tortured a lot. Ayatollah Taleghani goes to Imam Khomeini. And Imam at that time was in a school, in a madrasa Alawi, not in a palace or something. He was living in one of the classrooms of a school. He refused to go even to anyone's house. Ayatollah Taleghani says, I went to Imam and said, Aga, is this true? Is this your statement? They will kill us. There will be a massacre if people step out. We are accountable before God. It's the blood of the Shia. As much as I insisted, Imam Khomeini doesn't budge. And I said, Aga, please can reconsider your fatwa, your statement. Until Imam Khomeini said to me, Aghai Taleghani, if I tell you that this is not my statement, this is the statement of our master, I'm just announcing, I'm only delivering it. Do you still have doubt? He said, I was in tears. I said, no, Allah. May I be sacrificed for Imam Zaman. Even if we all have to be killed, so be it. Nothing happened that night. Subhanallah, look at this. Nothing happened that night. And the next day, official victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran occurred. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. God. Imam Zaman says to Sheikh Mufid every day and night, I'm praying for the safety of this community. How sincerely are they praying for my safety, for my well-being? I began with Dua Faraj tonight. I want to, inshallah, finish it with Dua Faraj. Now that you know part of, it's a small part of what our dear Imam does, inshallah, from tonight and always, sincerely let us really put his well-being before the well-being of anyone else. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, increase his love in my heart. And I want to be more in connection with him, because he has complained that who really prays for me? They say it, but who really is praying for my well-being? Allahumma kull waliyyik al-hujjat ibn al-hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as-sa'a wa fi kulli sa'a waliyan wa hafiza wa qaidan wa nasira ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Anywhere that the name of the mother of Imam Zaman is mentioned, anywhere that the Majlis of Fatimah al-Zahra is recited, Imam Zaman attends, inshallah, because he loves his mother and he cries for his mother. He himself, he says, I cry for the oppression that my mother went through a lot. Imagine for a minute, let's go, brothers and sisters, to the house of Amirul Mu'mineen. It's only 3 months or so at most after the demise of the Holy Prophet of Islam. And Fatima al-Zahra died of the agony of what happened to her husband. Imagine the scene, it's the darkness of the night in the house of Fatima and Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam Ali is doing the ghusl and the ritual bathing of the daughter of the Prophet Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. Putting the shroud, and before he ties the shroud, he is calling, Ya Hassan, Ya Hussein. يا زينب يا أم كلثوم هلموا تزودوا من أمكم فهذا الفراق واللقاء في الجنة يا حسن يا حسين. Hurry up, come look at your mother before I cover her face. This is the last time you are going to see your mother, the face of your mother. And the next visit will be in paradise. Historians, Allama Majlisi mentions Hassan and Hussein, imagine 5-6 years old. They come and drop themselves on the chest of the mother, kissing the feet of the mother. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Continue, Ya Imam Zaman, Allama Allah Ujurak. It's Laylatul Jum'ah, the night of the visit. Ya Allah, Allama Majlisi says, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I saw a miracle happening. Fatima al-Zahra, though she had passed away, she brought her hands up and she was hugging her sons. Ya Allah, from the scene I heard a heavenly cry from the heaven. Ya Ali took the children away from their mother. Wallah, from this scene angels are crying. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أيام قلب ينقلبون إلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء والصالحين وموتاكم وعلمائنا الماضين لا سيما الإمام الخميني رحمه الله من غرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.